ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You know what they know about me right away? He's a church man. He must be, because he's asking me if I am one. Jesus didn't leave us here to just have a nice time. Pink Floyd wrote a song called Sheep on their Animals album. You know, they would say about us, they say, harmlessly passing your time in the grassland away. That's what they say about Christians. You're just harmlessly passing your time in the grassland away, only dimly aware of a certain unease in the air. Listen to this. You better watch out, there may be dogs about. I've looked over Jordan and I've seen things aren't what they... What are they talking about Jordan in a Pink Floyd rock song? Getting him over to the Middle East. Guys, listen. This world is filled with demons and they know what the story is. I would encourage you to go look up the words to that song, not the song itself because you can't hear it. There's a synthesized vowel prayer in Sheep. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I promise I won't want him. They take a vow in that song that they will never want your Savior. They're talking about Jesus way back in the rock world. And they were besmirching him. Sympathy for the devil. You know, all of these things, they know what they're doing. And you and I need to have our game face on in a day like today. We need to know what the gospel is and love and live it. The Bible says your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. That's a statement right there, isn't it? Can you just drill there for a minute? I serve him with my spirit. You can talk about enthusiasms, but this is with his spirit. Do you know you really can't serve God with the spirit if you don't know his word? The Bible says, be filled with the spirit, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And all of those submitting and giving thanks and all the things that it says in Ephesians chapter 5. But over in Colossians chapter 3, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You can't be any more filled with the Spirit and cooperating with the Spirit than you are filled with an intimate knowledge of the Word of God. Now listen, check me on this. They're completely connected. Your ability to serve God from the Spirit has to do with your ability to understand the Word of God. Now at the first, when you first get saved, it's go to church. It's get baptized. It's show up. It's read the Bible. It's give a little money because it's good for you to do that. It's important for you to do that. Not because the God needs your money. It's because you need to know that God gave you everything and you need to work it out. God gave you the ability to do the thing and all that stuff. You're just working out your theology. And that's just cooperating with the Holy Spirit. I remember I asked my preacher, how much do you give? And he took me to the Scriptures and he was telling me something about 10%. I was relieved. Whew! I thought I had to give it all. You know? Of course, he always throws in the story of the man who said, God, just bless me. I'll give you a tenth of everything I have. And the guy got to the place where he's making $100,000 a year. And he's like, man, I can't give all that money away. He said, well, God can take you back to your $100 a week, you know, thing that you had going on. But no, the thing is, we just realize God gives us the strength to do that. Gives us the wisdom, the knowledge. And all of those little nuances of the Christian disciplines that are just basic things, they help us to grow. But eventually you get to hear more about this gospel of God and this gospel that was seated in the person of Jesus. And you begin to realize he was validated with power and he was put on display through the Holy Spirit's outworking. And that resurrection, man, that nailed it. And you begin to say, wow, this is bigger than I ever thought. And it changes you. The Bible says, I serve with my spirit in the gospel, in the gospel, in the gospel of his Son. It's the good news of his Son. That without ceasing, I make mention of you, always in my prayers. I serve God by praying for you. And he says, making request, if by any means at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now, he's getting down to practical stuff. It's not just because he wants to go see him and say, hey, what's up? He's saying, I want to go there and I want to help perfect your faith, but I can't get there, so I'm going to write this letter to help your faith kind of congeal, move forward, so you can get more mature and closer to the perfection God has intended for you. And what he wants you to do is get you more established. He says, I can't be there, so I'm writing. Okay? So that's what he's doing. He's taking this sidebar. He said, boy, I wish I could be there, but I'm just going to write now. I got to do this because You guys are struggling. People are hearing about your faith. Let's not lose the momentum and let's not mess it up either. He says, I make requests that I might come unto you. He says in verse 11, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end, here it is, that you might be established. And now, when you think of the word established, you pretty much have the right idea in your mind. But the word, it's the Greek word sterizo, like think of steroids, strengthened, but also think of stereo. It's the idea of stable. You want to have that. And the only way to be stable in Jesus is to trust and obey. Those are the 2 feet, okay? Trust and obey. And as you do that, the grace will be stirred up and the peace will be afforded you. He says, I want to impart some spiritual gift that you may be established. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Well, why was Paul uncomfortable? Because of what I said. Jews and the Gentiles were struggling out there in Rome. It was really important to get this right. Paul was a master builder. Jesus was the cornerstone. Then everything else was built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. He says, I want to be comforted. I don't want to see this thing crumble. Do you know churches crumble? You know that, right? Churches fall apart. Churches get old and people don't frequent them and the world gets busy and pretty soon they just close their doors, turn out the lights and sell it to some company that wants to come in and put a nice little shop in that area. It's easy. Easy to do. The only thing that keeps this open is you. It's the only thing. I mean, if I didn't have anybody to preach to, we wouldn't have a church. But we do have a church, and we do have you here. And you've got to get stabilized so you can understand what will help you have grace that continues to make every morning new. It is we in this room that have the power to either be established or not, and we have to take it seriously. Verse 12, he says, I want to be comforted by the mutual faith, that we have this one mind as Jesus would have us have in Philippians chapter 2. Be ye all of one mind, he calls the Philippians to have. And it's what he's saying here. We have a mutual faith. He says, now I would not have you ignorant that I oftentimes purposed to come to you that I might have some fruit with you. That's all in verse 13. Even as among all the other Gentiles. Now, you notice he didn't mention the Jews. Because he's the apostle to the Gentiles, he wants to reach out to them and say, guys, listen, I'm a Jew and I love you to death. And I know you got some Jews. It's not saying it out loud yet. He's going to get there. He's going to dress down the Jews. But right now, he's just saying, here's an olive branch. I just want you to know I'm a Jewish guy. I love you to death. I'd do anything for you. In fact, I get beat up all the time. They're throwing stones at me down here and over there. I'm getting stoned to death and haven't caught up to third heaven. All this stuff's going on in Paul's life for them. So when they're hearing this read in their assemblies across the Roman area, this grand city, well, they're hearing Gentiles mentioned. Wow, Gentiles. He's talking to the Gentiles. Yeah, I thought we were okay. I don't know. The Jews were telling us we weren't okay, but I guess we're okay. Paul says we're okay. Now, guys, listen. Can I say to you, if you're a child of God today, you're okay. God's got you. He loves you. He's for you. And if He be for you, nobody can be against you. You're more than conquerors. All that's true. And no matter what's going on in this instability that the world foists upon us, God has got His children. He says, I want to have fruit among you, even as I do also among the other Gentiles. He says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. Still hasn't mentioned the Jews. Isn't that interesting? I mean, he's a Jew. Perhaps because it goes without saying. He's going to say it in verse 16. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Power of God to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But he's letting these Gentiles know, and he's setting an example for the Jews. You guys need to help them. And Christians who are older in the faith need to help Christians that are younger. He says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. Now, you might think it feels bad to call somebody a barbarian. You know, in our Constitution, you may not know this, but you may know it. If you've ever read it very far, you'll run into a word that is going to make it very interesting to see how things pan out. It's the word savages. It's in our Constitution. Why? Because there were savages in America when we came here. They were not all savages that were Indians, but some Indians were on the savage side. Barbarians were people more on the savage side. In fact, the word is actually connected to people in the past because they had rough, rude, harsh speech. So you recall that it says somebody might think you're a barbarian if you speak in another tongue. Another writer points out that these were referring to foreigners. But barbarians actually came to be understood not only for their rudeness, but for the brutality they brought to war. Barbarians were people who would drink from human skulls. Yeah. The savages in America back in the day, and this is just something for your information, they would literally flay people in front of their loved ones alive. It was not a derogatory. It was a identifying. There were savages here. We needed to have some order, and we were able to try to identify what really the nut of our problem was. Okay? And so they put it in the Constitution as something that was dangerous. And they did make overtures to try to win the Indians when they came. You say, well, yeah, but they did this, that, and the other. Don't believe everything they tell you. When they say we gave them blankets and they got dead because of germs, they didn't even know about germs back then. Guys, listen, they didn't know about germs. They gave them blankets as a goodwill gesture. What the first act of Congress was to make Bibles in their language. So it was like 500 Bibles were printed. It's one of the first acts of Congress. Guys, we were not perfect. No country is. All have sinned. There's enough blame to go around everywhere. But what we're living in today is a divided country. And we need to get over it. If we're living in our neighborhood and there's three kids running down, you know, they're keying cars and they're breaking windshields and they're knocking. I had a neighbor, his mailbox got knocked down on the cul-de-sac. Nobody just knocks over for no reason. Somebody did that on purpose. And what I'm saying is, if you have that, you're going to say, there are a couple of ruffians out there. Are you being bad saying that? No, you're just identifying. We got some ruffians. We got to figure it out. Vandals. And then when they said savages, they did it decidedly. So the barbarians were pretty rough people, but he names them. He says, I'm a debtor to the barbarians even. God gave me a heart for them. And he says, both to the wise and to the unwise. So much as is in me, therefore, I am ready to preach the gospel to you. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. It's the gospel of God. To you that are in Rome also. Are you ready to preach the gospel to people around you? Are you ready to tell somebody how good he is, what he did, how it worked? If you're not ready because you're not equipped, then that's on you. You can be. There's all kinds of things. If you don't want to come to church, there's people on the internet you can listen to. I just, like Paul, you know, I can't be holding your hand all the time. But if I'm the guy that's kind of making it hard for you, then you get online, read, listen, read your Bible. When you got a couple questions, maybe you can ask me, do you realize that this is the way God intended church to be? He has ordained the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. That's a one-sided thing. A guy gets up, he preaches his heart out, and people walk away, dismiss, and bah humbug them. But some guy in the crowd sitting there with his eyes open, and he's thinking, man, I needed to hear that. And they make their way to the end, to the front, after everybody's thrown fruit and vegetables at this guy. And this happened back in the days of the Great Awakening. They'd throw fruits and vegetables at him, make their way to the front afterwards, and many times there'd be a church started, but little groups of people would come out of nowhere after it was over, and they'd get together and have a church. But a lot of them were throwing fruits and vegetables. Bah humbug. Why? Because it's personal. It's kind of offensive to our pride to have somebody teach us or just talk to us. We have to be a people who love the Lord Jesus, who love the gospel, who have the horizon so we can see who's not saved. And I would suggest to you that Paul teaches us what that looks like. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.